Good morning, everyone. Those of you who may be listening on the internet and our audience here today really have a stirring in my heart to share with us today about hold fast to the ways of God. I'm so grateful to the Lord that as for me and my house, that has been our decision to hold fast to the ways of God regardless of the adversity or what we see in the world today. And I intend to do so to the last breath that I have on this earth. And there is a family, there is a community of God that is committed to the Lord regardless. And if it costs them their life, they're not going to sway from the directives and the ways and the ordinances and the laws of God. And he's going to have his church, his glorious church on this earth. And I'm so glad I'm a part of it. And I've got a lot to learn. I want to stay there humbled before him and bowed before him to continue to learn, even in the light of our recent election that I believe has swayed toward an antichrist spirit. And I believe that it's time for the church to awaken from our slumber and to be truly seeking the face of God, what direction he would have us to go. I want to share something with us this morning as we get started about quotes from some powerful things that were said from some of our founding fathers and also some scriptures, some quotes that are really relative to what we're talking about today, holding fast to the ways of God and their opinion of the weight of that matter of holding fast to God and also articulating that and saying that written in history that we don't hear so much about anymore. But I want to share some things with you that were said from folks in the past. Not just a few passages here, but here's some quotes from what people said. I'm going to read it first. I'm going to tell you who said it. And some of you may be familiar who said it while I'm reading it. I'm not sure, but listen to these quotes from out of history from those who really did fear God and held fast to him and clung to the Lord with all their heart. The people are responsible for the character of her Congress. I just was meditating upon that. The people are responsible for the character of her Congress. We've got a big problem, though, in a democracy. When people's views change, then that's the character of the Congress that they want. But we are responsible. One way or the other, the people are responsible for the character of her Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. We're a tolerant society, all right. We're tolerating corruption. That's why they're getting elected. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities. One way or the other. This is what has always been my concern. When you have a generation that is degenerating into the next degenerate generation, and so on, then that's how these people are going to vote. That's who they're going to put in office, people who think their way. In this last election, there was tremendous domination of gays voting for Obama and people with extreme liberal views and views on abortion and all these type of things, and a lot of women. And just a lot of people, it was quite a mix there, and a lot of young people. I mean, many, many millions of young people were voting for Barack Obama and his cool ways and ideas and philosophies. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture and the morality of that nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. I'm going to read that again. If the next centennial, or you know, like centennial time period, does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. I mean, this is so well written. And who said that? Reverend James Garfield, President of the United States and a minister of the gospel. I thought Huckabee. I thought of Huckabee when I was reading that, a minister of the gospel and versed in the way he can articulate things and relate to the scriptures as to how our government should be run based upon those principles, those godly principles. James Garfield, President of the United States and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Providence, here's another one. Providence has given to our people the choice of the rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. John Jay said that, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Wow. I mean, if he were here today and witnessing what he sees on our Supreme Court and their thoughts and their worldviews, wow. And here he is. He's even mentioning it is our interest and privilege to select Christians to be our rulers and on the bench of the Supreme Court. And here today we have a president saying we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, you can think that maybe the reason he says that because we have such a mix of people from all around the world, such a Muslim population and Middle East population and all these things happening in our world. Maybe that's why he said it. But I'm sensing the reason he said it is because he almost enjoys saying that we're no longer a Christian nation. And because his roots were not rooted in Christianity. And in Psalm 11, before I share a couple other quotes with you from people in the past, in Psalm 11, verse 1 through 7, this is so powerful. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. People are shooting from a venue of darkness toward those who are in the light. Well, we do know that light casts out darkness. We do know that darkness will not assimilate into the light and make light dark. It can't happen. Jesus is the light of the world. In Him is light. In Him is life. And His light came into the world to cast out the darkness. So, but there are people who are shooting in darkness at the upright in heart. I see it. I feel it. I'm witnessing that. And I witnessed it in our past election. But God is our source. You know, He is the one that will do battle for us. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of what we believe and our heritage as a Christian nation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. In other words, establishing right away where God is. That we are not lost. We don't have to despair. What you said earlier today, Shirley, in prayer, that it's we can rejoice. We don't have to lose our joy. You know, we can still trust the Lord. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. There's a testing going on. And the one who loves violence, his soul hates. There's a lot of violence against Christians. There's a lot of violent things being said against Christians. And it's amazing how crass and of what I hear coming against the church and Christians. Upon the wicked, he will rain snares, coals of fire. Earlier today, one of our members here had a dream, and you said something about fire. Did you say you saw something about?
Yeah, I seen something like you say, even while I was here, it looked like a skeleton face and had, mm-hmm. had the hood on and stuff, mm-hmm. And then I seen the fire.
And then you saw fire with that.
Kind of whirling. Mm-hmm.
Upon the wicked he will rain snares, coals of fire, fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. Well, we know what the conclusion of rebellion against God is and coming against his righteous. It's not a good state to be in. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Psalm 11, 1 through 7. And here's another one, another quote. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. There was a time in my life when I was very inactive politically and choosing not to vote. What does God have to do with this world? Let man vote for who they want, but God is in charge. I'm not going to fear what they do, and all those types of that type of mentality. But certainly don't have it today. I thank God for that. I will vote for whom I believe is right and more biblically based than who he or she who is not. And I believe it's my God-given right to do so. And shame on me if I don't. But for years I didn't. God will bless or curse the nation according to the course Christians take. Who said that? Reverend Charles Tenney. He's a revivalist and college president. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've heard that so much. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is said and repeated so much. It reminds me of something else that was repeated so much in those scriptures, John 3:16. And we just like, yeah. You know, John 3:16, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But shame on us if we ever review or view such scriptures as something that is said so much. Yeah, I know, what else you got to say? But 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so powerful. We've said it here many times. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, I believe so appropriately today that 2 Chronicles 7:14 needs to be engaged and set and done. I'm praying for a revival. I hope we see a revival in our land. Revival will not come from the adversary. Revival comes from God's people. And here's something, another quote, real powerful. While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. Wow, these people just said it over and over again. Distinguished character of Christian. And George Washington said that, first president of the United States. I wonder how many children today in our schools are hearing this. You know, we used to call it, the history of the United States, and then different portions of history, world history, U.S. history, and we used to have to recite a lot of these things in school. And we were told about a lot of these things in school. But it's today I'm not so sure that that's part of the agenda in the classroom. And here's one quote. Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave and no man ought to take from us. John Hancock said that, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. Wow. That's just a few of scriptures that are quotes and a scripture and psalm there from the past having to do with our duties and our responsibilities to hold fast to the Lord regardless of the age we're living or the mentality or the philosophies of the world of the time we're living. And we need to be encouraged to hold fast to the Lord and to continue to seek Him on a daily basis what he would have us to do right where we are. I want to share some things with you, some excerpts from something that I got recently. We received this in the mail, and it's actually a small little booklet from the Liberty Council produced by the New Revolution Publishers, and there's an attorney that put this together, and he's appeared before the Supreme Court, and his name is Matthew Staver, and he wrote some things here so powerful. As I read these things, I just made some notations here of some passages I want to share with you today about what we've been talking about holding fast to the ways of God. We're seeing a great departure and exodus from that, and we need to be encouraged and reminded to hold fast to God's Word. And some of the things that this individual has said in this pamphlet are as follows. There's an insidious movement in this nation based upon the vision of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, and other leftist organizations that are supported by the liberal media. The people of this movement are working to remake America into a socialist, big government, anti-life, anti-marriage nation, and constantly apologizes for its heritage. See, there's a movement, there's a wave, there's a tsunami of evil that is coming against our historically sound Christian nation into a nation of liberal antichrist views. Liberty Council's vision is to take back America by restoring our core values, our love of freedom, individual responsibility, the sanctity of life, marriage, and our Judeo-Christian heritage. There has been a movement like that for years, as far as I can remember. But it's just like the evil has just metastasized against everything that is godly and pure. It's just spreading. It's spreading to our generation, of our younger people, and they're buying into it. And you've heard the example of how to catch a wild pig. You go out there and you put some corn. He comes out and he eats the corn. He goes away. You put out some more corn. You put up a section of fence. He comes back again. You put another section of fence up. You put out the corn. He comes back. You put another section of fence up. We got three sections of fence up right now, and you got some corn out there. The pig still comes. He's just going out there and feed on the corn because, you know, they like corn. And then all of a sudden he comes back to feed some more corn, and you got one more section. You close him in. You got your pig. And so it's just how it is. People are feeding on a philosophy that is truly far removed from the ways of God. They're feeding it, they're believing it, and the press, 90% of our liberal press is behind it, pushing it, and so you get people elected that way. It's very, very, very unfortunate that we see these things happening. One vision of America will win and one will lose. That is why we're calling this pivotal election year America's year of decision. Now, this is before the election. This is just before the election. This is 2012, published before the election, about a year before the election. And so there's a drive here. There's a message here to, you know, to vote God, to vote God's agenda. Anything that's more to the left of that, then it's easy to eliminate that. And so this was about a year before the election. The countdown to determine our national destiny has begun. I have been anticipating 2012 for some time. Several pivotal events over a period of many years have brought the United States and other nations of the world to a climactic point in time. I really believe this is a point in time of historical significance. I really believe this election, as was said by many people, is a very pivotal election. It's one of the most important elections we've ever had. Well, we're this side of the election. A president has been reelected that has an agenda that does not favor God's biblical views. I am convinced that the year will literally determine the destiny of America and the future of Western civilization. Threats to American sovereignty, to life, to liberty, and to foundational institution of the family loom over us this year. By the end of 2012, we could be surrounded by dark clouds, or we could finally see the sun begin to shine. The choice is ours to make. Well, I go right back to this side of the election. Jesus said, light shall shine out of darkness. So even though there's been a tremendous disappointment in my heart by the election of this president, who has an agenda that is certainly liberal and against the ways of God, I am going to walk in hope and walk in the liberty that Jesus has called me to, and not despair that we give up and quit. Dramatic threats to our economic survival hang over our heads. We are faced with a stark reality of federal spending. If it's not deeply slashed, America simply will not survive. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read it slowly. Here's an analogy of our national debt, and it makes it relative by giving an example here. The national debt now exceeds $15 trillion. $1 trillion is the number one, followed by 12 zeros. 1 trillion seconds equals 31,546 years. That's 1 trillion. Which means that it would take 473,190 years to tick off 15 trillion seconds. Can anyone truly grasp the magnitude of our debt crisis? You can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And America doesn't have, and yet it's still giving, still printing money, still coming up and with just handout after handout after handout, as opposed to the philosophy of, you know, if a man don't work, he doesn't eat. Mm-hmm. And we should always help, and the scriptures certainly tell us to do so, help those who are needy, the orphan, the widow, those who are handicapped, and all the issues of those people are always going to be in any society. We need to always reach out and help them. But there's a lot of people dependent upon Uncle Sam for everything, and everybody wants a handout. Wow. During the 3 years that President Obama has been in office, the national debt has increased by nearly $5 trillion. That's $5 trillion a year. This kind of proliferation spending is totally unsustainable. The actions taken by Congress on fiscal matters and what Americans like you and I do at the ballot box in 2012 were literally determined if America will survive. Wow, I think we're really, this side of the election, it's going to be interesting. In this pivotal year, we are living on financial life support. The debt crisis is a clear and present danger to both our national security and our economic survival. We also will face escalating threats to life, liberty, and morality. The United States Supreme Court is a powerful symbol of the rule of law. Today, it is also a symbol of the departure from the rule of law, and presents a challenge to thoughtful Americans to restore the founding principles of our nation. So today, our Supreme Court is a symbol of the departure from the rule of law in many, many cases and many, many examples. There's many other things in here that's pretty enlightening about that departure from the rule of God. And so in light of that, in light of holding fast to the ways of God, and in light of what I just read you about some of these profound things that are going on in our world today, I want to share with you in Deuteronomy 4, if those who are listening have your scriptures with you, you want to turn there, or if you just want to listen. In Deuteronomy 4, God had said something Moses is reviewing the law that God gave him, and he's telling Israel they need to be quick to hear and obey God's rule, God's law, God's ways, or their consequences. In Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9. Now, when you read this, when you read this as it begins in verse 1, Deuteronomy 4, it says, "And now, O Israel, put your name in there. Put America in there. Put Europe in there. Apply this to every man, every child, and every woman. Apply this to every soul on this earth. And now, America, and now, O Israel," he's speaking to his people, "listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." I believe God has been truly lavished on America the benefits of his great favor from heaven as a nation that was created and established by God himself. "Listen to these statutes and perform these statutes." Listen and perform. Hear and obey. Trust and do. In verse 2, "You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who follow Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." No matter what we face as a church in the days to come, we are going to be living with the Lord either down here or with him, one way or the other. If God is for us, who can be against us? With God, all things are possible. He's greater than any election of any president that we may disapprove.
That's right.
See, verse 5, "I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me." So what is Moses telling the people? What commandments and statutes is he telling the people? Not something out of the figment of his imagination. He's telling them what God told him. So when we stand up in our world today, in our nation, and tell the world and the nation what God tells us, it's not us, it's not a message from us, it's a message from God. Our young people need to hear that. And they are to a degree, but there's multitudes out there that they don't really care what God has to say. So what Moses was telling them was what God told him. In verse 6, "So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments and righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" America. "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons." People are not making known to our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters the things of God, because they also have diminished them from their own life, their own heart. They can't teach them because it's not there. It's not downloaded. In this last election, I want to give you an example of the voter guides I think are very beneficial. Many voters, especially to the Christian community, there are voter guides that are out there to help us vote Bible or vote opposite the Bible. But what does the Bible say? But on these main issues, and there's just a few here on one of the voter guides I got, and I want to share them with you of what people were standing for when they voted for the liberal left. On the issue of 20% across the board tax cuts, Obama and that camp, it's no. With Romney, it was yes. Repeal Obamacare, of course, Obama no, Romney yes. Balanced budget amendment with Obama, no. Romney, yes. We need to have an amendment to balance the budget. With the liberal camp, no. We're just going to work our way through this. And so, same-sex marriage, Obama, yes. Romney, no. I mean, that's it's a no-brainer. Cut Medicare by $716 billion, Romney, no. Obama, yes. Abortion on demand, Romney, yes. Gee, if I'm a Christian, I don't want that. Why would I vote for that? Yet there are multitudes of Christians who voted for that.
That's right.
I mean, they wouldn't say, yeah, I'm just abortion on demand. Yeah, a lot of them were aware of what they were voting for, and they went ahead and pursued that. But they didn't look at the issues. And, of course, Romney, no. Cap and trade carbon tax, Romney, no. Obama, yes. Taxpayer-funded abortion. Obama's camp, yes. Romney, no. Taxpayers, you will pay for abortions. Mm-hmm. Mandated contraceptive coverage by religious charities. Romney, no. Obama, yes. Mandated contraceptive coverage by religious charities. Of course, the Catholic Church is up in arms about this. Mandated, whether you like it or not. The new sheriff's in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and so important. Defense of Marriage Act. Just these issues right here are so important. Romney, yes. Defense of Marriage Act. Obama, no. So clear. And if this is the guidance that we have coming out of Washington, if this is the agenda that we have facing us as a church, the church needs to get on her knees. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking the face of God. What would you have us to do, Lord? You know, this is some serious stuff. And if you would turn with me also to Isaiah chapter 1, something very profound said here, and I think it relates to our world today and our country. Not only Israel, but God's people. Remember, when Jesus came, we got grafted into the vine. There's no Jew, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We are the family of God. And this message back then was to the family of God. The message back then now applies to the family of God. We are the family of God. Isaiah chapter 1, some scriptures here, starting with verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. This is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. Listen, O heaven, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Heaven and earth, listen to what the Lord is saying. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. Do you believe there's a revolting going on right now against the ways of sons that I have reared, a nation that I have caused? I have breathed into America to come. We read the Christian quotes from the past, the people, where they were coming from. It's not taught today, but God has reared our nation. He has birthed our nation. And yet they have what? Have revolted against me. In verse 3, an ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And not only Israel, but America. All countries that have a Christian foundation and have turned from God, he's talking to them as well. He's talking to us as individuals. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey is, and that's true. They do. They know where their home is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alas, verse 4, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. and they have turned away from Him. I see that happening. It's just there's an abandonment to the ways of God. There's an antichrist spirit. There's an ungodly thing going on in Washington right now coming against the things of God, the institutions of God. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? Do you believe America was stricken when 9/11 happened? When the World Trade Centers were... It's just uncomprehendable. How could that happen? But it did. I believe we were stricken. I believe we had, at that time, we had a breach in our wall. I believe that was from the an enemy, an adversary that came, of course, to strike America into the heart of our financial district, our, you know, the very core of America. Even the Pentagon, you know, was hit. And so here we have the World Trade. I believe that we've been stricken, and I believe there's a breach in our wall. Not only physically, but morally, of course. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Who do you think the head is? Who do you think the heart, the head and the heart is here when he speaks to a nation? What is the head and what is the heart? If it isn't the what? The leadership. The very head of the nation. Not only our political leaders, but our Supreme Court, who are appointed by our political leaders. Our Supreme Court is becoming more diseased, more sickly. The whole head is sick. The heart is sick. The leadership of our country, there's a sickness. Based upon a departure from God's laws and God's ways. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick. In verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. There's nothing soft there. It's all hard. In the last days, the Bible tells us that the heart of men will what? Will wax cold. Wash yourselves. Go to verse 16. Isaiah 1:16. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. The Lord is crying out. The Lord is appealing. There's a way to, there's a way to get out of this. Reprove the evil of your deeds from my, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Verse 18 says the Lord, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city, verse 21, has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness, once lodged in her, but now murders. Why do I say murders today here speaking to us? Murder in what way? Maybe. What about abortion? Huh? You just said it. Partial birth abortion. Mature children with eyes and little lips and facial and little fingers and feet moving around inside the womb. And we go in and we dissect them. We scrape them out. We suck them out. We remove them. It didn't happen. I'm no longer pregnant. Hallelujah. There's no discussion of adopting these children. But no, they're murdered. Boy, people hate you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there are people who regret, who have had abortions. Mm-hmm. They really regret it. I mean, they go to sleep each night with tears. But they need to know, too, God forgives. Mm-hmm. God forgives for that if they call out to Him. But people do not look at these little precious children inside from the very moment there's a heartbeat, there's life. From the very conception, the very uniting of the sperm with the egg, there's life. There has to be, or else there would be no continuance of everything else coming together in that womb. There'd be no continuance if there wasn't a beginning. So there has to be a beginning, and the beginning is the sperm comes to the egg. There's the beginning. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
But when they kill them, they're killing their babies and their grandchildren.
They're killing their heritage.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When you abort a child, you're destroying the heritage of that child. Wow. And in verse 21, the end of that says, but now murderers, it says in verse 22, your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, and I see that today. I see rebels being elected to our courts and political offices, and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chase after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Wow. This is so appropriate and well said toward any generation, any nation, of any time. And yet there's a snubbing of God's advice. This advice is not welcome.
No.
Thank you very much, but we just don't believe the way you do.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? I'm going to put an overhead up here. The middle ground of people who are trying to live on the fence are not going to be able to stay there. And this was in the paper recently. Let me see if I can get this the right side up. There won't be a middle ground. Now, the caption to this is not on here. Now, I'm going to read the caption to an overhead that I just put up here. The caption is, the end of the happy middle ground. The end of the happy middle ground. So over here on the left, you got a guy holding a sign representing Christianity. That's more like a guy dressed like the Pope over here. And this guy over here is dressed like a Muslim.
Yeah.
And so the Pope, or the Christian depiction here, says, mine is truth, yours is myth. And over here with the Muslim poster, it says, mine is truth, yours is myth. And the caption is, the end of the happy middle ground. And so, the middle ground is becoming, the two sides are becoming more defined. There's a warfare here. Either you do it God's way, or you do it the God of this world's way. You can't be in the middle. And so you have to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the God of heaven or the God of this world, choose you this day whom you shall serve. Joshua said that. And so there's no middle ground. So today, I really am feeling the weight of what's coming out of Washington and the shunning of God's word to guide them to guide us. So I'm not dependent on them to guide me.
No.
I would love it to see even a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ being our president like there was Garfield. Wouldn't that be awesome to have a pastor, a godly man, a man after God's heart, to be the president of the United States and not ashamed to pray and people in the Oval Office and people in the White House praying and having that as a daily routine.
I'm looking to JC, not DC.
Yeah, Eddie. I want to share something with you too here. I said something earlier about an insidious movement in this nation based upon the vision of the ACLU and other leftist organizations that are supported by the liberal media, in an insidious movement. And I wanted to get to the root of insidiousness. And this is amazing. Insidious means working or spreading harmfully in a subtle or stealthy manner. Working or spreading harmfully in a subtle or stealthy manner. Intended to entrap. Treacherous. And from Latin, I really was enlightened here from the Latin, because our language is so much based in Latin. But the Latin base to insidious is I-N-S-I-D-I-A-E, insidiae. It means ambush.
Yeah.
To sit upon, lie, and wait for.
Yeah.
Not all of our politicians have an insidious agenda. But many of those right now in office, our president and his staff, and on down the line exponentially and systemically, have an insidious agenda, along with the ACLU and all the other leftist liberal groups, against the ways, the rule, the reign, the law, the ordinance, the truth, the way, the life of God Himself. There's an agenda against it. And that's why you're having a less attentive governance of our nation toward considering the weight of abortions. And marriage is, in their estimate, can be between a man and a man. It doesn't matter. Anybody can marry anybody they want. And, of course, that's going to go places we don't want it to go later on, too. People are going to be marrying all kinds of combinations of things, and it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So there's an insidious agenda, and I don't like the way it's going. I didn't vote for it, and God's going to hold me accountable for the way I did vote. I believe that with all my heart. I believe he's going to chasten people who didn't vote. And so they're going to have to be accountable to the Lord. It's going to be between them and the Lord. But I cannot emphasize enough how important it is today to hold fast to the ways of God. Recently, we've been hearing on Wednesday nights, Pastor Linda's been sharing with us a series of messages about My Way or the Highway. And very similar, we're talking about today, hold fast to the ways of God. It is His way or the highway. And people may not like to hear that, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. And in Him is light. There is no darkness whatsoever. And when He came into this world, He came into this world to cast out darkness. And so in Him was life, and He was the light of life. So for those that may be listening to this message today, do whatever you have to do. Make it your business. Make it your agenda to seek the face of God, to hold fast to His ways, to ask God to download you by His Spirit, the power of His Holy Spirit, with His Word, with His message, that you may share that with whomsoever, wherever you go, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your daily life, be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ more than ever before, calling upon God's power to do so.
Yes.
Hold fast like never before to the ways of God. Because there's an agenda out there, it is insidious. It is out there to entrap. It is out there to snare. It is out there like a roaring lion to kill, steal, to destroy the things of God. May we see revival.
Yes.
I'm praying for revival. And revival begins with you. Revival begins with me. Seek the Lord while He may be found. There's going to become a day when the Word of God will be scarce. We know that. We know revelation is going to happen. We know all God has planned will not be thwarted. It will not be derailed by any movement whatsoever in this world, especially by the God of this world, Satan himself. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your country.
Yeah.
Pray for God to make a change in your life.
Yes,
but hold fast to the ways of God. God bless you.
You will.